Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
So, how are you?
Well, I mean, I'm going to be completely honest. It's been a horrible week. Obviously, you know, we all found out on Saturday about the news of Caroline Flack, who was a very close friend of mine. And I've been really struggling to process how and why it's happened. And it's really just rocked all of our worlds. Anybody that knew her, people that watched her on telly, people that had never even met her, everybody's feeling the impact of the suicide. And on a personal note, it's just been, it's been really hard to parent during this time. Yeah. I feel like I'm on the verge of tears constantly. I've lost my friend. I've known her since I was 20 years old. You know, we met on an audition, and she was so lovely and warm to me. I remember it vividly. And anybody that knew Flack just knew what a bubbly, vivacious, you know, outgoing, wonderful human she was. And she just didn't deserve the way she was treated. I've been kind of oscillating from feelings of extreme sadness to anger, which I know isn't healthy, but, you know,
yeah, it all was natural.
Really hard to watch her being torn down the way she was by the press, and I just miss my friend. So it's been a tough week, really tough week.
Well, I just want to say thank you for obviously coming in today, because I know that it's really, really difficult. And I just think you're amazing and you're doing so well. And I think a lot of people don't, I mean, I'm witnessing it firsthand. When something happens to you, you know, a lot of people go into work and no one knows what's going on, and they can sort of pretend that it's not or get on with it. But, you know, for someone like you, everyone knows what's going on, and you've still got to go into work and, you know, and act, you know, carry on. So just, you know, I just really admire you for that.
It's just, thank you for saying that. But it's important, I think, to, you have to carry on. Like, I just sat all weekend into this abyss, just feeling desperate for her family and, you know, for her best friends who are around her and were there with her at the end. And, you know, I feel a sense of loss. I've never experienced suicide before, anybody that's listening to this. You know, if you've been through it, I'm beginning to feel what you felt, and it's horrendous because there's so many questions and why and how and what for and could I have done more and all this kind of stuff. And I've been beating myself up about it. But you know what? She knew. The last messages that I sent her, you know, were just saying how much I loved her. So she knew. And you know, I think it's really important to highlight checking in on somebody.
Definitely.
You know, you have to message that person, regardless of what you're doing. If you think someone's having a shit time or you're worried about their mental health, we have got to start reaching out more and looking after our friends.
Yeah, and not feeling like you're being busy by reaching out to people. And, you know, if they don't want your help, fine, you've done it though, haven't you? You've done it, you've reached out, and I think that's something that we all need to do.
And also just highlighting the importance of mental health. You know, we always talk about, and we have it sort of spoon-fed to us in the press, that it's all about how you look and it's this size and oh, this, that and the other. It's like, actually, if our mental health isn't good, none of that matters and none of that is important, because it's all about how we feel. And especially as new mums or new parents,
exactly,
it can be pretty dark. So today we wanted to dedicate this episode to Caroline and to say that if anybody's experiencing or going through anything like this, that really reach out and connect with your friends, and it's say that you're not okay. It's okay to say that you're not okay. And we got in a very good friend of mine who is also a very good friend of Carrie's, and we're going to talk to her today. So today is a fairly difficult day for myself and for the lady, the beautiful, amazing, incredible lady that we've got sitting opposite us today. Obviously, the world knows what happened to our lovely friend Caroline Flack about 10 days ago. And it's been a really, really tricky time to try and process what happened to her, what she did to herself. And we've all been trying to get our heads around it. And we felt that it was really wrong not to touch on it today. And the lady that we are talking to, the most wonderful, beautiful lady, Louise Redknapp, was a very good friend of hers as well. So we've got Louise in today to talk about checking in. And but first, I feel like we should kind of quickly have a little chat about our friend Carrie.
Yeah.
It has been horrendous, hasn't it?
Yeah. I feel that I did my post and I feel really passionate to not talk publicly about her because I loved her just from all the genuine elements of girlies and friendship. But obviously, we both know her, and it would have been really odd today to not bring her up and just say she was incredible. And my heart is just broken for her and for her family and her friends and for you and all of us that were part of her life. And let's hope as time goes on, we can do something to make sure this doesn't happen again.
Yeah, for me, it's about remembering that people are human, regardless of whether you're a celebrity, you know, a gardener, you know, somebody that is an astronaut, whatever it is.
It's
like we're all just humans trying to get through this life.
Absolutely.
And I think what happened in all of the madness was that people forgot that she was just a girl and she needed love and she didn't get it. And so today I would like to talk about the importance of checking in and making sure that the people in our lives are loved and looked after, because you've had a really, really rough time recently as well.
Yeah, I think I think our friendship very much come out of an understanding of how desperate you can feel and how concerned you can feel about people talking about you. And it's so mad because I've come out the other side and I realised that you aren't, you know, it isn't that bad. But when you're in it, you can't see the wood through the trees or the light at the end of the tunnel. You become so caught up in sadness that you just want people to not have opinions. And I always say it, and I've said this before in interviews, you can have all the people that love you say the most amazing things in the world. You can have 50,000 kind messages, but the one bad one is what you carry throughout the day. And it can be anything from something as personal and as tragic as what she was going through, to what I went through, which was so personal and something that I couldn't comprehend would ever happen, like after 20 years of marriage and all of a sudden it falls apart. And to stupid things like why we find it necessary to have the worst dress list and pick on people for clothes choices or the way they look on the beach or I don't know. And it's all relevant because I always think the bad comments that people leave, the only person that really reads them all is the person they're about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
of course. Do you know what, as well, I think that translates into being a new mum. So you'll have loads of people around to come and visit your new baby and they'll all say lovely things. Oh, you're doing such a great job, you're being amazing, you're this, but you just remember the one that said, oh, you probably shouldn't do that.
Yeah,
oh, that's probably not quite right, isn't it? They're the ones that you hold on to, whether you're in the public eye or not. It's day-to-day life.
Absolutely. I think becoming a new mum is so filled with the same anxiety of, you know, I always remember, I'm like one of those real slapdash mums that kind of forget what day they don't have to wear uniform and when they need a cereal.
They're the best one.
I do.
Yeah, that's what we say.
I'm the nightmare mum that I walk in and the woman with the clipboards like says, you're the only person that hasn't contributed to the Christmas presents for the teachers. I'm like, oh, sugar, I'm sorry, I've got no cash, can I bring it back later? So I agree. I've actually went through different periods being a mum in my life where I was always that mum that even though I wasn't even working when the kids were younger, I still couldn't really get my head around being so organized. And then it went into when my personal life was so public, I dreaded going to the school. I dreaded not being that perfect mum. Like, I literally used to get my mum to go in and do the pickup, and I'd wait in the car out round the corner.
Oh, Louise.
Because I just didn't, I just felt like everybody was judging me, and I'm sure they weren't. And there's some amazing women there. And now I think, of course, no one was, but in my head, I'd let my kids down, you know, I hadn't done enough for them. So I think we beat ourselves up completely as mums. And I think whether it be what we were just talking about, being a mum, I think, you know, we're faced with such a lot of pressure and adversity and to be perfect. And it's really hard to be perfect, you know.
And the perfect mother, that whole, I just want to be the perfect mother, just doesn't exist. What is perfect?
No.
We're all flawed individuals, warts and all, and that's absolutely okay.
Yeah.
That's, you know, surround yourself with the people that love you, that really care about you, and do not give a shit what anyone else thinks.
I always remember
you.
Like doing the playgroup stuff, which, first of all, kind of isn't really my bag, I'm going to say it. I don't really want to do head, shoulders, knees and toes with a group of other women and my kids at all. And no. I'm owning up to that, like, worst nightmare. I prefer to go to Selfridges with the baby and hang out in Starbucks.
Absolutely.
And walk around showing my lovely son beautiful shoes, which I did do a lot of just to keep myself busy.
Insane.
Yeah, thank you. But you know, when you go on the odd day, right, I'm going to go to the farm and with the other mums, and everybody gets out their Tupperware boxes and I'm coming out with Pombears and Quavers thinking, oh no, do they sell fruit anywhere in here? I could chop up some grapes, please. It's real. The worry, the things we worry about is crazy. And of course, my kids are older now. I've got an 11-year-old and, you know, one that's a few weeks away from being 16. So now I live with a fully grown man in the house.
I want to come on to that, actually. Yeah. But before we go in there, I just kind of want to take your mind back to the place where your public persona was, you know, you were very well known in this country, a household name to all of us. Yeah. And I think everybody probably looked at you and thought you had this perfect existence, a happy marriage, two beautiful boys, a great lovely career, you know, a pop career, and, you know, on the stage. And and what was really going on for you at that point?
I think I made a few mistakes that were really detrimental to me, in the sense of it ended up not being great for my family. I think when I had the boys, I did stop doing everything for a number of reasons. My confidence wasn't the best. You don't think anyone's going to be interested. I had a husband that was profile, was high and earned a very good living. So it wasn't like I needed to contribute.
Yeah.
So you almost felt a little bit guilty to push yourself into a direction where you wasn't always the homemaker, because I didn't need to. I'd grown up thinking the women that needed to go out and work and bring in a living. And I thought, well, I'm so fortunate I don't have to. Jamie's the most generous human being in that way. He was quite happy for me to never work again. So to tear myself away and go and work, I felt guilty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And during not doing it, your confidence levels get lower. You become more self-conscious. You forget that you can do anything or you have a talent.
Yeah.
Yep.
And before you know it, 10 years have gone and you're really lonely and you're really sad, because what made me tick was my job. That's the person Jamie fell in love with, somebody that was up there, that was wanted to be up there. That's what I grew up I went to stage school from the age of 10. Wasn't like I just one day wanted to be famous. I would sing and dance for free. I'd pay them to let me. I think looking back, if only I had not giving up that part of my life, I think that I would have been a happier person, because I was a very lucky, I love my children, and you know, Jamie had no idea, I think, of how much I missed what I was doing. And then...
And you probably didn't really realise how much you missed it until it wasn't there anymore.
And until I got a taste of it again. And by that time, I think, you know, the cracks were showing, and it was tense. And then I did go off and do Strictly, and I sort of, it's so cliche when I sort of read an interview and it says, oh, she found herself again and stuff like that. And it wasn't like that at all. But it did make me realise how what I love doing really was quite a defining part of me as a human being.
Well, do you know what though? You say that, it sounds a cliche, but I even find, like, I'm technically on maternity leave from my day job at the moment. And I had my second child 7 months ago. And I find even having that day where I get on my leggings, I put a dress on, I come into town, I feel like I found myself again. Yeah. And that's just on such a small, you know, it's just an hour travelling in, doing a few things that you love, and then you go home and you've got that buzz again, haven't you? Like, oh yeah, I am someone that's not just mum at home.
Yeah.
It happens.
I can imagine doing something as big as Strictly. Yeah. It was like a real rebirth in a way, because there you were.
Yeah. And everybody, you know, there's so many different stories and things, and actually I just wanted to scream and say, do you know how nice it was to lose myself in a piece of music for 3 minutes, like, and just feel like alive again, and like someone had switched a button on in me to go, you can still be everything you ever wanted to be. And yeah, it was just sad that it got to where it got to, and I take responsibility, because I think we can only ever take responsibility for how we, you know, deal with things and process things. But I always say now, I get so many women that contact me, and some not so kind, because people out there have got an opinion.
Tell me who they are.
Yeah, exactly.
But a lot that are kind, and they say, God, I'm going back to work, I feel so guilty. And I always say to them, please follow, you know, what you want to do. Children, especially in today's world, my kids are so proud of what I do now. They're so proud. And for however long it lasts, I'm a real realist. This is dog eat dog in our industry. I don't know how long it will last for me. But all I know is during the time that I'm out there and I'm doing it, I'm going to do my best to love it and include my kids in it. And I know that they're so proud. Like, they say to me, Mum, you've smashed it. Like, my eldest son come home, he went, my boy mates are all giving me so much jip because you actually went in higher than the charts and some rap artist that they were really like. I'm like, yes, you did. He's like, okay, you know, is when I go into class and Farzan's playing your latest record, doing his prep, I will throw my pencil case at him.
It's,
you know,
brilliant.
And they're all sort of 16, and it's nice to see that it's had a positive effect on their life and not a negative, me going back and doing what I love. So it's so important that women just don't feel the guilt and the shame. It's so important.
Well, no men get that, do they? Really?
I don't think so.
No, they don't. They don't. No one questions a dad that goes back to work 2 weeks after they've had the baby. Yeah. They don't get that.
I do think, though, that, I mean, my husband didn't get any paternity leave because he was a professional rugby player and they're expected to go back in the next day. Yeah. And I know that it tore him up, that he couldn't be there for me.
Yeah, I do think men should. I do think men have their unfair, you know, their disadvantages in how they have to deal with things too. I don't think this is a one-way street. No. I think for men that can't spend time and bond and be at home and enjoy those moments, it's really sad. And I do believe that men should have as much, you know, time at home with the children as a woman does.
Absolutely.
And in some cases, a man is the one that does stay at home and the women go out. And I think it's horses for courses, and I would never judge. And I think that men should absolutely get that time. And also, I was married to a sportsman. I know that some of those guys didn't even make it to the birth because they had games, and they're torn. Mm. They're also torn, like, they're damned if they do and they're damned if they don't. So I don't, you know, my woman's struggles don't relay any way that men have it easy, and, you know.
No, I don't think they definitely don't have it easy. I just think that people don't look badly upon a man if he goes back to work.
That's
what I'm saying. I'm not saying that they don't have their internal struggles. They absolutely do. My husband plays football, and he had to go to Newcastle for 3 days when Axe was a day old.
Yeah,
he was, you know, he was in bits, absolutely devastated. But no one said to him, "Oh God, you're going to what?" You left a day when Axel was a day old. No one said anything. Absolutely, imagine if I'd have done that.
This is the judgment part. Like, I think we're all kind of sensible adult women that see everything for what it is. But I do, and I've sort of always been really careful to say this too much, but I do, and I have experienced it, where women do get so more heavily judged
for their behaviour
than a man.
Yeah.
And that killed me during my divorce. And even now, 3 years on, and me and Jamie spoke about this actually, I could turn up, we could be doing the same interview a week apart with the same people in the same programme, both promoting something not, you know, our personal life, something, a job, a TV programme, a record. And he would not get asked one question about me, not one. Yet 90% of my interview would be about my marriage and getting divorced. And I actually said to him, how do you do these interviews and not, I don't want to talk about my personal life, but I understand you have to play the game, you have to be polite, and you have to, you know, you can't just shut everything down. It's impossible. If you can't take the good with the bad, you know, you're in the wrong business. And he said, I don't know. I just tell them I don't want to talk about it. And they don't.
Respect it.
And they respect that you don't want to talk about it. I'm like, but I say I don't want to talk about it. Yet when I'm live on air, I get asked about it. I'm like, I don't understand what the difference
is. What is that? Because that is society's view on the female role in life, really, isn't it? It's like, do people think that a woman's life is dominated by family, partner, kids, first and foremost? But do they look at a man differently? I mean, these are the questions, because if it was more balanced, they wouldn't necessarily feel the need just to ask you and not Jamie.
Yeah, I know.
It's weird, isn't it? I mean,
me and him have, I spoke to him about it because I was like, what are you doing to kind of, you get the chance to go on and just promote what you're talking about and what you're doing at that moment and why the real reason you're there. Yet I find it so hard to bring it back to why I'm there.
Mm.
And he was like, I don't know, it's mad. I was like, wait, it's really been an eye-opener.
And really, really hard for you on so many levels, because you're getting your career back and doing brilliantly, but you've also got humongous heartache. I mean, you've spoken about this before, about the fact that, you know, you were married for 21 years, and he was your best friend, and suddenly that's gone. I mean, how are you during that period? What's life like for you?
It's been really tough. Like, it's been really tough. Anyone that knows me, I'm a real softie, and I still want to be his best friend, which isn't possible, you know. It was like I've just watched somebody else's life unfold. I sometimes sit up and go, when did this happen and how did it get there? And like, it's almost like I wasn't really present at the time it was happening. And it's only now I look back and go, wow, like, where do I go from here? I've been really lucky that I've thrown myself into work, and thank God it's been going great. But I don't know. Yeah, it's every day is a new day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think anybody that's been through like a divorce knows that it comes and goes. It's a kind of like a grieving process.
Well, it is, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I try and be positive because it happened, and I was very okay with it happening. But it doesn't make it any easier. I think people assume that, well, you know, go and get on with your life, you're fine. And everyone's different, but the kind of person I am, it will never be easy for me.
Mm.
It will never be something that I'm just water off a duck's back. It will always mean a lot. I'd known him since I was a teenager. He was my everything, and then all of a sudden he wasn't anymore. Mm. And yeah, it's a tough thing to go through.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50.
luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I think anybody that's going through it at the moment, or anybody that has friends that are dealing with something like this, they have to make sure that they are, it's going back to what we're discussing today about checking in, really checking in on that person, because even though you might have your own stuff going on and, you know, everything's relative, it's like actually those people really need you. So I think it's a good piece of advice. I hope you had a good network of people around you at that time, because it's absolutely key, isn't it? You need your friends and family.
I think without my friends, actually, I'm not sure I would have got through it the way I have. I've been very, very lucky. I'm very close to my family. My mum moved in with me. My brother moved in with me. My friend moved in with me. I've got a house full now. But I don't think I spent a day on my own for a year, actually.
Can you be on your own now?
I struggle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I hate being on my own. I hate being in... I actually... If I know I'm getting up in the morning and there's no one there, I get terrible anxiety. Like, I'm just not, for 20 years, I was never on my own. And the hardest thing is when the kids aren't with me.
Yeah.
I'm just about
That's
to
what
say
I was
going to
say as well. Yeah.
When the kids are there, I'm fine. I go into mum mode, no matter, even after, you know, the other day. And I saw the effect of me crying about Caroline was having on the kids. I thought, okay, I need to, you go into mum mode, you automatically go into mum mode and sort of just become that strength in the house. So when the kids are there, I'm fine. When they're not there, it's a really empty existence. It's very strange.
It was hard to let them see that raw emotion coming out of me, obviously, when I got the phone calls coming through and I couldn't stop crying. And my son Kit, who's not even two, was going, mummy, stop, mummy's sad, stop now mummy. And it was, I couldn't stop it, but also I wanted to protect them from it. We talk about this a lot, trying to protect your kids from that.
And you almost put on, like you say, like, be the strength in the house. You put that on, you put that mask on, don't you?
Yeah.
But when you're really not feeling strong, and I can imagine, you know, going through a divorce, how do you even go about that? Mm. How do you put that brave face on, because it's like 24 hours a day?
Yeah, I mean, some days I didn't some days I couldn't, but I think my sort of saving grace was my friends and the fact that my kids were a bit older.
Mm. Yeah.
So I could actually talk to them. I just, work really meant something. I felt like that was kind of played such a big part in my mind, and not in our marriage or anything, but just in me, my own personal sort of struggle. It was getting up, and even on days I was tired and I think, oh, I can't really be asked to do this. Once I got there, I was like, okay, I'm fine. It's just a real motivation to be okay, especially because I sing. So that was such my outlet.
Yeah.
Like, for me, it's the only real way I know to outlet. I never really spoke about it much to anybody because I was very untrusting of what people would say. I was very nervous to kind of let too much out. So actually going into the studio and writing and singing and just getting on the piano and letting it all just flow out was it was really cathartic. It was something that I think really did help.
And the new album's done so well.
Yeah,
your face is just,
I know, when I talk
you
about
light up, you light up. You really do light up.
I know. I swear, honestly, and to any mums listening that are passionate about anything, if someone had said to me 10 years ago that I would have an album and be really proud of it and it to have got critically so, you know, many great reviews, and it's a pop album, you know, I'm not some kind of cool indie artist or anything, but it's a pop album so from the heart and so genuine that I never thought that would ever happen to me. I thought my lot was what I had, which was a lot, but it wasn't.
Yeah,
from my heart, I feel if I can get back out there and do it, anyone can, because I swear I never thought I would ever sing again for a living. And I've done a West End show, and I'm still doing a West End show, and every night sometimes I'm tired and I walk down the end, and it's always the claps at the end, the applause, and people stand up, and I just think, okay, this is what I've always wanted just enjoy this because this is what makes you tick.
Yeah.
You know, this is what you love. And I had such a long period of not doing it, I realised that, you know, how much that broke me down, actually.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's every day's a new day. That's what I think. And I am very single at the moment. Which is really not a good thing.
It's fine. Find Louise a man.
Your son's not showing you the apps and stuff.
I know, but I just... Right, this is the thing with the apps. Who's going to put my age group in an app?
What is that? We're clicking old. The lower box.
No, but you know, like, I think, okay, so, oh, there's Louise Redknapp. But they don't see it's me because they have to put my age in. And no men are putting my age in. That's what I think. So I'm going to be a waste of time going on an app.
No,
age doesn't matter.
It doesn't. And you've proved that with what you've just said about, like, you know, it's never too late to go back to doing something you love.
Exactly.
I think that's such an important message to mums as well.
I think I'm scared. I think all the men are like, oh, too much baggage.
you think that. And then we're looking at it. It's like any guy that's looking at you is like, that is foxy, gorgeous, talented.
Successful. Yeah, exactly.
God, no. I'm like, I'm the most unflirtatious woman in the world. I literally like clam up and go, nice to meet you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Listen, when we met, I said to you, I was like, I'm going to keep my eyes open. I'm going to hook
you did try
and
hook me up.
I tried and you didn't even respond.
I know, I get so
mad. And then I went back to him and I was like, this hasn't gone well. This is my mission for 2020 is find you.
I know. I'm really bad at saying no. I am that person. Like, I'll go for a gym session with a trainer and then I think, okay, it was fine. I don't really like the gym. And then I sign up to 12 personal safe training sessions with no thinking I'm actually never going to go back, but I just don't want to offend him by saying I'll get in touch. So when you sent me that picture,
wasn't right for you.
How can I go back to her and go, oh, I don't know, because it's so shallow. I was like, oh god, I wanted to go, sorry, I don't know about the ponytail. I'm just not sure.
He's got a man bun.
Do this, a man bun.
No, he wasn't right. Listen, I got the brief wrong.
You got it wrong. I was really grateful, but I thought, I can't go back to her and say no. She's going to think I'm a terrible person.
How is that, though, going back into the dating world as a mum? Like, I'm... How do you go, you know, how do you feel about it?
How do you navigate it?
Yeah, how do you navigate
well,
it, exactly?
Well, to start, in the very beginning, my eldest was like, under no circumstances will you ever go on a date with a man. I will absolutely not. Like, super protective over me.
On my water.
I love that, though.
He's so protective. But he recently got a girlfriend who doesn't stay over, by the way, but she comes round a lot and they hang out. And I'm quite a liberal mum. I let them have their time. I cook them dinner and leave them in the kitchen on their own where I go upstairs. So keep an eye open. They go up to his room and watch a movie and stuff. I do sometimes just bulge right in.
Do
just
you?
Like, bowl, like, hey, anyone want dessert?
They don't get too comfortable.
No, they don't get too comfortable. But also, he knows he can talk to me about anything. Like, I am the most open. I'm like, anything, like, there's nothing that you need to ever be embarrassed about. And so since that, I think one day I was kind of saying about a guy or something and he was like, I don't want to hear this, mum, you absolutely are never going on a date, where are you going tonight? And all his mates would always be in the kitchen and I'd walk down the stairs dressed up and they'd all be like, where are you going, Louise? Are you on a date? I'm like, absolutely not, I meet my friends. And then he got up one morning and he went, Jemima spoke to me yesterday, mum, and I think it's time, if you did want to ever go on a date, I'd be okay with it.
Oh, that's lovely.
I was like, really? I was like, well, unfortunately, no one's asking me on a date, but I'll keep that in mind if I ever do get asked. Thank you. So now he's like, are you going on a date yet? I'm like, no.
That's
so
massive from him.
It was actually a really big moment because he had always been quite vocal that I must never go on a date. And I suppose they always hope that their mum and dad will work things out.
Of course
yeah.
You know? So when we lost my dad, my mum was just obviously devastated. And after about 4 months, it was quite early on, I thought, right, she's a person who struggles to be on her own and she likes to be around people and she likes to feel in love and in lust and everything else. And I've known that throughout my whole life. And I set her up with somebody and I was like really proud that I'd done it, not thinking it would ever work out. And then of course they got together and she's like, he's my soulmate. great. Now I'm like, oh, I'm so angry. But oh, it's taking
so
me a really
long
time. So
your matchmaking skills are pretty good.
Yeah. I've done really well, guys.
Maybe I should revisit the man bun.
But I think my point is, like, as a child, even though I'm a mother, I'm still someone's baby, and I still find it hard seeing her with somebody else. So for him to actually turn around to you at such an early age and be like, actually, it's your turn to be happy now, that's massive. And kudos to you for bringing up such amazing boys, because that can't be easy.
I did say to him, that really means a lot. And I also, because there's often things written in the papers that aren't true. You know, I've had numerous links to numerous men that are not true. I mean, two of them are my gay managers. I mean, that's a start.
Oh my God.
And like, they're both, you know, got boyfriends. But I did say to him, and I said this to the younger one as well, I promise you that if I ever meet anybody that I feel that I would like to see time and time again, or they want to see me time and time again, and it feels comfortable and right, I will tell you, I'll be completely honest. So if ever you read anything or hear anything, you'll know, and I will tell you the truth. I will tell you before anyone else. I will come home and go, guess what, I've had a date tonight and I really liked him and I'm really hoping to see him again, and how do you feel about that? I was like, and I'll always tell you the truth. I'll never pretend they're friends. Yeah. I'll never pretend they're work colleagues, you know.
Is Brian. He's going to do our bathroom.
Yeah, you know, one of those. Oh, yeah, this person's here. Oh, we work together. Like, you'll know, because I feel that you're at an age where you're going to, I don't want you to be suspicious and I don't want you to read into things that aren't true. So you'll always get the truth from me, good and bad. So I'm very, very honest with my kids.
That's lovely.
It really is.
Now, in light of recent events, you know, our lovely friend, there have been kind of calls in the public that there needs to be changes on the regulations across social media and how the press report on things. And obviously you just touched on it then, that, you know, the press have written a lot of stuff about you that isn't correct. So how do you handle those negative comments? Because it must be so challenging for you, you know, trying to just do your best to then have to sit back and people writing stuff at you. And I mean, it can get so much that obviously, well, look what's happened.
So I have I've been in this industry for over 25 years and I've been at the top of my game and the bottom. There's nothing I feel like I haven't experienced. I really feel that you, as somebody in this industry, you have to expect a level of press. We can't just pick and choose. We can't decide we've got a record out or we want to promote a radio show and turn up on the red carpet and be written about for all the good reasons and then expect for anything that happens in your life to not be reported on. But I think that is the key. It's reporting on the things that need to be reported on, the hardcore facts, the news, respectfully. I think it got really hard for me when there was just so much flying around and I felt like I'd lost control of what the real truth of everything was. And I never wanted to come out and put people right, because I feel there's a fine line of doing that as well. If you come out and you say, that's not true, this is true, you know, you just tie yourself up in knots. And I think never complain and never explain. So I think that for me, it was most probably the toughest time to read such scathing things. It did break my heart. Like, it did have some days where I was so concerned of what people thought of me and I didn't really know how to combat it. And now I have a great team that I've learned so much. I would actually pick up the phone to whomever and say, can I just put this straight, you know, woman to woman, woman to man, whoever, this is the deal. Can you give me this time? I would just deal with it directly. Then I said nothing. And the more I said nothing, the more it, you know, railroaded in front of me. And I just felt very out of control. I've learned so much. Now I would have a direct and frank conversation. I would be as honest as I could be about my circumstances. And hopefully that would mean less of an intrusion into my life. Yeah. I don't know if that would work, but I think for me it was one of the hardest things to have to deal with, because you feel so judged. You feel so heavily, I don't know, just everybody has made up their mind and has an opinion on you. And of course they don't. People actually are a lot kinder than maybe what you give them credit to, because you read a few bad ones, but on a whole, I think people are really good. But I do think something needs to be done a little bit about controlling how it is reported and to what extent.
Mm. And for me, it's about the social media side of things as well, that we have to be able to differentiate between what's real and what's, you know, in the square.
Yeah.
You know, because that isn't reality. That is, you don't put on Instagram, or hopefully, you know, we can try and reflect on it, but generally people don't put those times where they're crying in their pajamas on, feeling desperate on their own. They put up a lovely photograph of themselves, you know, at an awards or on the red carpet somewhere, or, you know, out with their partners and everything's perfect. When actually it's not.
I put very little personal stuff on my Instagram. Mm. I put nights out, I put fun stuff. I don't really even put my children up there very often, and I made a really conscious decision to do that when I was going through quite a tough time, and lots of people were saying, you've left your kids and you're never with your children, and so I'd get so many comments going, you're out again, where are your kids?
What, just from randoms on Instagram?
Randoms on Instagram, yeah. Like, out again, where are your kids? And I just found myself going, well, of course, I'd been with the boys all day. I'd left my house at 8 o'clock that night to maybe go to the theatre or go wherever. I had done dinner, done the school uniforms. They were both in their rooms at this stage with mates or Xbox or whatever. And I'd been, right, okay, I'll be there in the morning to get them out of bed. So it was a very normal period of time. And I found myself wanting to post pictures of them so I could prove to everybody I was that mum at home. And I, just as I was about to do it, I thought, I am not doing this. My kids do not want to be on my Instagram. They are 11 and 15.
Yeah.
They don't want pictures of them on my Instagram around the kitchen table to justify the mum I am. And I made a conscious decision that if it was Christmas and we happened to get a great picture together or on holiday, and I'd always say to them, are you cool if I post it? And sometimes they go, no, mum, I don't want to be on your Instagram. Sometimes they go, all right then, okay. But it would be very few and far between pictures on my Instagram with the kids. And I thought, never again will I think about proving what kind of mum I am to anyone in this world. I adore my kids and I am there with them as often as I can be around work and around a small, very small social life, you know. And yeah, I'm not proving it. So I think social media, it can really get in your head if you're not careful.
And isn't it disgraceful that in this day and age, you're having to sit here and say to us about the type of mum you are? I mean, you're having to prove to people that you're there and that you're doing the school runs and stuff. It's no one's business. Yeah. Like, you are the best. We're all just trying to be the best parents that we can be. And also, you are allowed to have a social life. You
of course.
Go
exactly.
out and see your friends, go to the, do whatever you want. Yeah. You know, you're a brilliant mother. We're all brilliant mothers.
We're still people.
We're still people at the end of the day. Exactly.
Well, do you know what? Now I never would. And I never did. But it did cross my mind where I felt myself, should I post a picture of my kids on this Sunday afternoon to prove I'm at home? And then I'd be like, no, this is absolutely ridiculous. Like, who am I proving this to? Some, you know, 10 people that have decided to pipe up on my Instagram. Yeah. I actually, when I got divorced, I deleted Twitter from my phone. I couldn't even look. Mm. If I read it, I wouldn't have left the house. I literally couldn't look at it. It absolutely tore me apart. I was like, I just deleted it off my phone and I haven't looked at it since.
I've just done that with a few apps, actually, just because I found myself scrolling and every time I saw, I just saw Carrie's face and I just couldn't look at it any longer. So I think it's really, really healthy to have a good relationship with your phone and social media. And we're learning. We did a podcast with Madeline Shaw and she was amazing. Get your glow back. And she basically puts her phone to bed in a box every night and leaves it in another room and says goodnight to it and then leaves it alone. And I'm really starting to implement those rules.
Yeah, it is. You do have to put boundaries in place, I think, don't you?
And it's important. You know, I sell more records through my Instagram account than I most probably do any other medium, you know, like swipe ups and that. So I get it's played such an important tool. It's just working out the way of using it on a personal level to your what is right for you. For me, Twitter was very harmful through because there is an underlying very negative amount of comments that come through that. I think Instagram's slightly different because it's more picture led. And literally the only way I could deal was by not reading it. And I've never read it from that day.
Well done.
Ever. I don't even have it on my phone.
I just can't wait till we get into a world where people are leaving hearts as opposed to
middle fingers or writing horrible comments. I'm just so desperate for us to get to a place where we're just coming out with kindness rather than negativity. Because
it'd be nice to actually have a forum, whether it be the papers, social media, where you can't actually leave comments. You can just celebrate what you choose to celebrate. Mm. Like, is there any need for the comments? Mm. Most probably not.
Mm.
That's very true.
That's a nice way to end it, I think.
I was going to ask for a piece of advice. So every guest that comes on, we ask them, what is the best piece of advice you've ever been given, or a piece of advice you'd like to give to a new mum, or, you know, a new parent, or an older parent, or whatever, a parent.
I can only go on a piece of advice that I really needed at the time I got it, and it's really simple. And it come from my best friend from when we was 10 years of age, who is still very much in my life. And I was really nervous. I was going off to do a show. And she picked up the phone to me. She was like, right, I've had enough of this. Where's my fearless friend gone? Like, when we were at school, you were the girl that got up and you didn't care. You sung the loudest. You kicked your legs the highest. You threw everything you had into everything. And now you kind of have made yourself... like almost like you kind of want to do it, but you want to be a bit invisible at the same time. So just go out there and be fearless in life. Otherwise, what's the point?
That's fab.
Love that. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Louise. No, thank you. We got through it without crying, right?
I know. I feel like I'm dissolved now.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to Quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.